I will be forever the myth.
You're the king of kings, though.
There's always a pecking order. The little peckers never mess with the big peckers. So I'm a rooster, and he's a chicken.
This episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast is brought to you by our sponsor, Florida Alternative Medicine. All right, welcome everybody to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast, where we talk to the legends of bodybuilding and we also talk about the history of bodybuilding. I'm your host, John Hansen. On today's show, we have an interview with Mr. Dwayne Broadway. And if you heard our interviews in the past with Tom Terwilliger and some of the other old school teenage champions from the 1980s, a lot of them have mentioned, John DeFendis was another one. They mentioned Dwayne Broadway because Dwayne was a really great teenage competitor during their years. I think John DeFendis' first contest, Dwayne Broadway was the one who won the contest. So Dwayne is doing great. He's in his 60s, and we had an interview with Dwayne last week. And in our interview today, Dwayne's going to talk about how he got into bodybuilding. He was also from New Jersey, where a lot of the great teenage bodybuilders were from, and what got Dwayne into competing. And Dwayne had a long career. He was a natural bodybuilder, which I completely forgot about until I started interviewing Dwayne. I looked at his contest career, and Dwayne went over to the WNBF, which is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, natural bodybuilding organizations. It's been around a long time, started in the 1980s. They're mostly an East Coast organization. And Dwayne went out there and competed and got his pro card with the WNBF as a natural bodybuilder, and he won the Mr. Universe contest through them. I think Dwayne's been retired for a while from bodybuilding, but he still looks great. He's still really healthy. He got a lot of energy, as you'll see in the interview. So we have a really good interview coming up with Mr. Dwayne Broadway, who's been in the industry for a long time. All right, before we get to that, I do want to mention our sponsor, who is Florida Alternative Medicine, where age is just a number. Do you want to feel great, optimize your energy levels, burn fat, and balance your hormone levels to maximize your potential? Then go see the experts at Florida Alternative Medicine and Weight Loss. They have a certified and knowledgeable staff that will work with you to achieve your goals and get you the results you've been looking for. They offer a wide range of services that ensure you will not only look and feel amazing, but also be comfortable knowing that they're there for you every step of the way. Their competitive pricing, along with their quality products and services, are just a few reasons to give them a call. So call them at their office number, which is 813-922-8939, or you can reach them at their website, flalternativemeds.com. Again, that's flalternativemeds.com. And if you tell them that you heard their ad on the Bodybuilding Legends podcast, they will give you a free consultation. They'll also give you 20% off your first order. All right. So we are now in the third week of October. I hope you guys are having a good month. I do want to give a shout out to my friend James Lucas. I've been working with James since March of this year. He wanted to compete. He's been off of competing and training for a long time. He competed a long time ago. James is now in his 50s and gained some weight. And James actually signed up for the seminar that I had planned for earlier in the year that we had to cancel because of the coronavirus. I was doing a two-day seminar, 8 hours each day, which was going to be training and classroom instruction. James was one of the ones that signed up for that. So instead, we took the money that he spent on the seminar, because he already paid for it, and we put it into pre-contest training, which I offer on my website, johnhansenfitness.com. So James has made phenomenal progress in this whole year of training and dieting. His weight went from a body weight of 221 pounds. He's now 169 pounds. He's getting ready to do his second contest. He did his first contest about 4 or 5 weeks ago, and he's much better, much leaner now. So James will be competing this weekend on October 30th. So I want to wish him the best of luck. He's shown incredible hard work and dedication, sticking to the diet for that long. It gets a lot tougher as you get older for those of you who have done it. Got to really commend James for all the dedication and hard work he's shown. So hopefully he'll do really good this weekend at his natural contest. I also want to give a shout out to my good friend Peter McGuff, who used to, of course, be the editor at Flex Magazine for many years. He's probably the best writer in bodybuilding, along with Rick Wayne. Peter was working for Joe Weider for many years, and he really turned that magazine around, and he has a lot of respect in the industry.
Peter actually lives out here now in Florida, where I live. He moved from England, of course, over to California when he was working for Weider, and now he lives in Florida with his lovely wife, Anne. So anyways, Peter has been battling cancer for the last 7 years, and it's really been tough, and he was doing better, but now he's not doing better. He's really exhausted and in a wheelchair all the time, and I guess the chemo is really getting to him. I don't know how bad it is, but everybody in the industry reached out to him this week. I put something on my Facebook page and got a lot of comments. And then Sean Ray and Bob Ciccarillo from Digital Muscle, and also Dan Solomon, of course, because Dan runs digitalmuscle.com, they put together a video tribute where they had all the top bodybuilders in the industry giving well wishes to Peter. So hopefully he'll pull through. I know his main motivation is his wife, Anne. He wants to be here for her. He does not want to leave her because she's been by his side for so many years. And that's his real motivation for sticking around and trying to beat this thing. And he's always saying that, you know, they're always coming up with new things to fight cancer. So he just has to stick around long enough so they can find these cures to help him beat whatever he's going through. So I hope he makes it. He's a great guy. We've had him on the show many times, and I've been friends with him for many years, especially since he moved out here to Florida. And he's loved and respected by everybody in the industry. So I hope Peter pulls through. I also saw Arnold had an operation. He was at the Cleveland Clinic this week, and he got a new aortic valve put in his heart. And last year, of course, you remember he had a pulmonary valve put in his heart. So I guess he's doing well. He looked good. He said after the operation, he was walking around Cleveland taking pictures with statues. So Arnold is now 73 years old. So Arnold is getting older, unfortunately, and I hope he is around for a long time because, of course, everybody in our industry looks up to Arnold. He's still considered the greatest bodybuilder of all time, and he's done more with his career than anyone. So I hope Arnold makes it and gets through this and sticks around. He looks like he's doing good, though, so keep your fingers crossed. All right, last week we had our second part of our interview with Mel Chansey and Ed Connors, and I thought it was a great interview. A lot of people loved it. I did get some comments on my YouTube page. Ronan said, John, I'm a huge fan of the show. You've had such great interviews throughout, but I think this is my new favorite. Great job. All right. Thank you. Michael said, great interview. I remember that after John posted the first half of this interview, I posted a comment essentially begging him to post the second half. Well, here it is. And as I imagined it would be, it was incredible. Great personalities and great stories. I don't think that I've ever looked forward to a bodybuilding book as much as I am with Ed's upcoming book. I think it's safe to assume that it's going to be really long, and I hope it is. It will have to be super long to accommodate all his stories. The guy has a wealth of knowledge when it comes to bodybuilding and the entertainment world. John and Ed are the go-to guys when it comes to the history of our great sport. I send you my respects from Atlantic Canada, brother. Ron Hobbs said, wow, I never knew Lou Ferrigno was a jerk behind the scenes. Oliver said, grumpy old men, where do you want me to put my guns? What a polite house guest, this Mike. George said, Arnold was a great success. I'm just confused why he never attended Franco Colombo's funeral. However, he did attend Niki Lauda's funeral in Europe 3 months earlier. All right, so that's our comments on our YouTube page. So thank you guys for making those comments. Again, if you want to make any comments on the show, you can email me directly at naturalolympia@gmail.com, and I will read your email on the air if you want me to. All right, that is it for our opening. Here is our interview with Mr. Dwayne Broadway. We're going to talk about bodybuilding in the 1970s. Dwayne's going to talk about competing against teenage champions such as John DeFendis and Tom Terwilliger, as well as many others, including at the Teenage Mr. America. And then he's going to talk about his career as a natural bodybuilder in the WNBF. Here we go. All right, welcome back to the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. I have a very special guest with me this week, Mr. Dwayne Broadway. Dwayne has a big career in bodybuilding. He started competing in the 70s, and he competed against some of the legends of the sport, some guys, names you're going to know for sure. So, Dwayne, welcome to the show.
Well, I'm glad to be here, John. It's truly a blessing.
Glad to have you. So, Dwayne, let's start at the very beginning, like we always do. How did you get involved in bodybuilding? What got you interested in lifting weights?
Okay, I remember going to the laundromat with my grandmother at the age of 5 years old and seeing a muscle magazine in the store.
Okay.
I saw the pictures of those guys, and I was like, wow, my eyes popped out of my head. And I'm like, oh, man, I like how that looks. And from that age on, I was fascinated. I would go home and watch Jack LaLanne. You know, I wanted to build my body up.
Okay? Right, right.
Yeah.
Were you doing exercises at that young of an age?
At that young of age, I used to follow Jack LaLanne, do the exercises with the chairs. You know, I started doing push-ups early. And I think that's what helped develop my chest, because once I started competing, you know, I would always win best chest, you know, and I think that came from me doing push-ups at a young age.
Yeah. Yeah. They said there's a theory that whatever exercise you do first, like for a certain body part, that's the body part that'll be your strongest body part, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, because at the Teenage Miss America, I mean, in Teenage USA, I won best chest, best back. You know, my back also, you know, but push-ups was my mainstay exercise.
Yeah. So were there any bodybuilders that you really looked up to, Dwayne? Anybody you wanted to emulate?
Bill Grant was from my hometown.
Okay.
And, and he would come back to the Orange YMCA where I trained at. And I remember seeing Bill in the magazines, and I'm like, wow, you know, it was unbelievable. Frank Zane was another guy who I really looked up to. I thought he had the most beautiful physique out of all the bodybuilders. He wasn't as bulky and massive as, you know, the Arnolds and the Franco Colombos, yeah, but his physique was just aesthetically pleasing. And right. That's who I looked up to. And I realized at my size, I'm never going to be the biggest guy, but you can be the most beautiful person on stage.
Yeah.
So I emulated Frank Zane for that beauty.
Where did you grow up, Wayne?
I grew up in Orange, New Jersey. Okay. That's where I grew up at.
Okay.
You know, and like I said, that's the home of Bill Grant as well.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that's cool. So what was your first show then? What was your first contest?
The first contest that I competed in was the Teenage Mr. Suburban.
Okay.
And it's amazing how fate works. I was a senior in high school, and we had a football game that night. The day before, three guys were fighting one guy on the football team in the cafeteria. I just went to his aid to help him out and handle the situation. I got kicked off the team because I was representing the football team, you know, for that night. So it just so happens they kicked me off of that one day. I went into a bodybuilding contest that same night, and I came in second place to Mike Torsha, who went on to win the Teenage Mr. America.
Right.
Which I would go on to win eventually.
Yeah.
Wow. But that was my first show.
That was 76?
That was 76, correct.
Okay, yeah. Cool. Wow.
75, I'm sorry, 1975.
75, okay. Yeah. Yeah, you're right, because Torsha won the Teenage America in 75, right?
Yeah, and I went in that competition, and that was my first bodybuilding competition that I went into.
So what was
And your, I was hooked from that point on.
What
I
came was your in second experience place. Doing that first show? What was your experience like?
My experience, it was getting up on stage and having the crowd, you know, cheer you on, you know, it was great. I remember a guy named Tony Pandolfo.
Yeah.
This guy was phenomenal bodybuilder, you know, and he took a liking to me. And we just hit it off, and he would just share information, because after I competed in that one show, I started competing on a routine basis. I would win the teenage competitions, and Tony would always win the open competitions.
Right.
So we developed a great chemistry. You know, he was a great guy.
Wow. Did he train at your gym?
No, he didn't train at my gym. He was from New York.
Okay.
But he would come to all the shows that I was in, and he would just, like, give me tidbits and everything like that. But I can always remember getting on stage that first time and how good it felt, you know, hearing the crowd cheering. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm in, you know. and that was it.
Yeah.
I was hooked.
Did you go back to football after that, or did you just stay with bodybuilding?
Yeah. I went back to football. I finished football that year.
Okay.
But after that, I gave football up, and it was all bodybuilding.
Wow.
You know, because, yeah, bodybuilding was my commitment.
Yeah.
You know.
What gym did you train at, Dwayne?
I trained at the Orange YMCA. Okay. And then from there, I trained at another gym called Paradise Fitness that used to be down the street. It was run by a good friend of mine, Henry Jinks, who also was a known bodybuilder back in the day. And I would go and train at his gym as well, the Orange Y and the Paradise Fitness. But the Orange Y is where I first began training.
Okay. So when you did that first show and you've been reading the magazines and stuff, did you have a game plan on where you wanted to go with bodybuilding, or like, did you want to win Mr. America or something? Or
I'm glad you asked me that question. When I was a sophomore in high school, I entered high school at 4'10", 102 pounds.
Wow.
Okay. But I always ran track. I was always fast. So that's what led with football and everything like that because of my speed. And I remember being a sophomore and getting a magazine at, I went to Orange High School and I saw the magazine that had Albert Beckles in it. Mm. And he had won the Mr. Universe. And I was looking at him. I'm like, one day I'm going to be Mr. Universe.
Mm.
And I locked that in my head and it just drove me. And that was my commitment, become Mr. Universe.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. How old were you, Dwayne?
I was 15 years old when I made that commitment.
Okay.
I was 15. Okay. I said, I'm going to be Mr. Universe one day.
Okay. Yep. Cool. That's awesome. So what shows did you do the next year, 1976?
76, I came back. I won the Mr. Suburban in 76. Teenage Mr. Suburban.
Yeah.
And I won a couple of other teenage shows. And then after that, I competed in 77. And when I won the Teenage Suburban in that show, you would not believe that lineup of teenagers that was in that show.
Really?
It was me, John Defendis, Casey Kachorik, and Tom Tawilica.
Wow.
All four of us were in that one show, teenagers. Imagine that.
Wow. Were you guys in the same class or were you in different classes?
I believe John and I may have been in the same class.
Okay.
Me and Casey was in the same class. Yeah.
Okay.
And Tom and John were in the same class.
Okay.
Yeah. And I won the overall.
You won the overall.
That show.
Wow.
I won the overall. Yeah.
Where those guys place? Do you remember?
John will never let anybody forget it. Okay. That was his first show. And he didn't place in that show. Out of the three of us, he was the one that didn't place. And to this day, he always tells me I'm the iron that sharpened his iron. Because he'll tell me all the time, you kicked my ass, you blew me off the stage.
Right.
And he said, from that point on, I never wanted to feel that again.
Yeah.
And that just drove him, and you saw the success that he achieved.
Yeah, okay? Yeah, I remember when I did an interview with him, he was mentioning that, how he thought he was going to win. It was his first show. And then he was the only guy that didn't get a trophy.
Oh, I listened to that interview and I was crying. And you know John. Nobody can tell stories like John.
Right.
He's an ultimate storyteller.
Right.
You know, but John's such a great guy and a humble guy. And he's always been that way.
Yeah.
Okay. And I love the guy.
How did Casey look in that show? Because he went on to become a great bodybuilder too.
Casey became a great bodybuilder. You know, Casey had the thickness. You could see the potential with Casey. Mm-hmm. You know, he always had, you know, the quality muscle, you know, even at a youngster, you know. But he came in second to me. And, it was me. And I won my class. Casey was second. And another guy came in third.
Okay.
And it was an awesome competition.
Yeah.
Look at the four of us went on to became pros, you know?
I know. The teenage shows are something else back then, weren't they?
Oh, they were awesome. You know, it breaks my heart when I go to these teenage shows now. And in a lot of contests, you don't even have enough to make a class.
No.
And a teenage show.
No, I know.
And, you know, that's what it's all about. You can get the youngsters in, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, because I see some shows, though, you see the potentials on some of these young kids, man. It's unbelievable.
I know.
You know, because the nutrition that they have today and the science
that
we didn't have back then.
Right.
It's night and day. Yeah.
And like you mentioned too, the body part awards, that was a lot of fun having the different body awards, you know.
Yeah. Oh, I said, you know, best back, when I would go into competition, I would look at that trophy, and off the bat, I'm like, that's mine. Okay?
Right.
You know, because I started doing pull-ups at a young age.
Yeah.
You know, and the pull-ups gave me the width, you know, for that last sprint. And I was always committed to doing those pull-ups.
Yeah.
So before I started lifting weights, like I said, pull-ups and push-ups.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. What was your physique looking like back then, Dwayne, as a teenager?
As a teenager, I was blessed with shape.
Okay.
You know, because I used to run track. You know, so my legs were always, you know, decent, you know, because from my sprinting.
Yeah.
I, like I said, from doing the push-ups, I had a good chest, and by doing the pull-ups, I had the back.
Your back.
So
yeah.
I had to be taper.
Right.
You know, but I committed myself to doing legs, you know, and squatting and doing, you know, because back then a lot of people didn't want to put it in at work because legs are tough.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And those who put in the work reap the rewards.
Right.
You know, so I was fortunate enough to see a lot of bodybuilders before me with weak legs, and I put in my mind, I'm like, that's not going to be me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that drove me watching their downfall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, you said Tony Pandolfo was helping you. How was he helping you? Was he helping with your posing, nutrition, with your training?
Like when I would see my competitions, you know, he would just say, you know, you got a great physique for a young guy, you know, stay positive. You know, he would just give me encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he said, you're doing well. Keep doing what you're doing. Because he saw the consistency and the drive. And then, like, when he would see me, you know, pumping up, you know, he would come over there, you know, and tell me, you know, Dwayne, you look really good, you know. And we just hit it off, and I could talk to Tony. And
yeah.
He would talk to me about, you know, certain nutrition, you know, about eating. And because Tony always came and shredded.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. And he had – every body part was balanced. He had good symmetry for a short guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was a great physique. Yeah.
So I looked up to him, you know, and the fact that he took to me and him being a champion, I was there to absorb everything he had to share with me.
Mm-hmm. And things were different too back then. Like, we didn't know much about nutrition, and they didn't have any internet. They didn't have any coaches. So we kind of learned just by talking to one another, right? I mean, you just kind of had
Absolutely.
To figure it out yourself and experiment and see what worked, right?
Correct. You know, the best thing we knew about nutrition was eggs.
Yeah.
You know, the desiccated liver.
Yeah.
You know, I remember the kelp, you know, I remember all that, you know.
Right.
We didn't have the nutrition that these young guys have available to them today. I remember my first time competing at the Teenage Miss America, I was eating the day before the show, chicken egg foo young. Okay. Okay. We didn't have that knowledge back then that they have today.
Right.
You know, but we got by because we were young and you could burn it off.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, your metabolism was so fast it didn't matter.
Absolutely.
Right.
Okay. But it's unbelievable how far we've come in that regard.
I know. So you did the Teenage Mr. America in 77, right?
Yes. Yes, I did.
And that was a stacked show, right? That was unbelievable.
John, all those teenage shows were stacked, man. You know, I remember we would have the Teenage Mr. America and the Teenage USA, you know. And I remember the first time I competed in the Teenage America, I came in fourth place. That was the first time I didn't come in any lower than second. And it just blew my mind. And I was committed. I'm like, this will never happen to me again.
Yeah.
You know, so I came back the following year and I did very well, you know. And then I went on to win the Teenage USA. You know, in 77. Yeah.
Really? You won the Teenage USA in 77?
Yeah.
Okay. Where was that one at, Dwayne?
That was down there in Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
Atlanta, Georgia. Doc Neely gave the competition.
Okay.
Yeah, it was at the Fox Theater.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, cool.
Yeah.
So what'd you do then after your teenage years were over?
After my teenage years, I was in college. I went to school and graduated from Fairleigh Dickinson University.
Okay.
But I still continued to train and compete, you know, during that time.
Mm-hmm.
So I continued to compete, you know, because back then we had the AAU, which eventually became the NPC.
Right.
You know, so I won, you know, the Teenage New Jersey. I won numerous, the Colonial Miss America, you know, Mr. Suburban, you know, Garden State, you know, a bunch of NPC shows. And I just continued to compete in the NPC. And it wasn't until later after I got out of college, you know, I competed in an organization that led to my natural pro organization, which now I compete in the WNBF.
Right.
You know, which I was so glad to find out that there was a natural pro organization to compete in, because I would compete in Bob Bottom's show, the Natural Eastern Classic. And that back then, that was like one of the highest natural shows you can achieve. And okay. I had won that. And then I was steered to competing to get my natural pro card. And when I did that, it led me to compete. And I won the Natural America. And from there, I turned pro.
Okay.
So I went on and turned pro. And John, when I went to the pros, because I was killing everybody in the amateurs, everybody thought that I was going to just like walk through the natural pro organizations.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what a rude awakening that was, boy, because everybody there was incredible.
Really?
And the thing about it, they had one class, you know, so we would have like 30 people in one class.
Really?
And yeah. So I took my lumps, you know, the first couple of years, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then, anybody knows me knows I don't like to lose, so mm-hmm. I'm going to do whatever it takes to win. So I got my nutrition really locked down at that point.
Okay.
After I got my nutrition locked down, things started changing.
Yeah.
I was amazing how you learn through experiences. I hurt myself squatting heavy, so I messed up my back.
Okay.
So I started coming back, recuperating, you know, using lighter weights on my squats.
Right.
And going on higher reps. My legs exploded.
Really?
From going on higher reps.
Nope.
And yeah, because I was getting more blood into the muscle. And I'm like, my God, I'm getting a greater pump this way than I was doing all that heavy weight.
Yeah.
I'd taken 2 years off from competition. When I came back, it just went right through the roof.
Hmm.
I started winning everything.
Wow.
You know, and I went on to win the WNBF Mr. Universe.
Really?
You know, yeah. So I won a bunch of competitions, you know, right on through there. You know, I won the
Let me take you back. When you were a teenager, you never used drugs then, right? When you were competing in all those Teenage America stuff, right?
I was clean all my life. I've never used a drug a day in my life, John. And
that's great.
John, I feel so blessed to be able to say that, because I've been on stage, you know, with the best of the best.
Yeah.
You know, I've been on stage. Mike Ashley beat me for the overall title for the Mr. America in 1981-82. He beat me. He won the Natural Mr. America that year.
Okay.
And I would go on to win the Natural Mr. America thereafter. But I've been on stage with Kai Greene. I've been on stage with Sean Clarita. You know, these are legendary names.
Right.
You know, so
I've been on stage. What was your thinking, Dwayne, when you were younger? I mean, because I'm sure you're going to the Teenage America, Teenage USA. Those guys, a lot of those guys are taking drugs for sure.
Correct.
And I know the pressure's on. I mean, when you get to the national level, a lot of guys, even mm-hmm. teenagers, are going to take drugs. So what was your thinking? You're like, I'm just going to stay natural no matter what.
I was always afraid that I would be that one who would have that bad experience.
Oh, okay.
And I always had a belief in God. And I felt that he blessed me with everything in my body, far as being chemically balanced, you know, with all the right hormones and everything. So he gave me everything that I needed in my body. And if I were to do anything to tinker with it, now I'm saying I don't trust God, because I really do love God and I believe in God. Mm-hmm. And my faith said, no, I can't do that. So that was the one thing that kept me from going ahead and taking any drugs. Because like you said, it was presented to me numerous times as a teenager. Here I am, one of the top natural, I'm one of the top national teenagers back then. And like you said, teenagers were dabbing in that stuff back then.
Yeah.
But I was determined not to do it. And I was blessed with a mother that would question me. She said, you know, Dwayne, you're not messing around with any of that steroids or anything like that. And I'm like, no, Ma. You know, and I never lied to my mother. You know, so I was, I really believed in that. And I truly believe God blessed me with everything in a perfect balance. So for me to go ahead and put something in my body, I'm going to throw out that perfect balance.
Yeah.
So that's one of the main reasons why I never went that route.
Okay.
And I don't knock anybody who chooses that route, but right. I was committed to doing it. Yeah.
How about the gyms back then, Dwayne? Because you were training at, I know how the gyms were back in the 70s, 80s. They were kind of hardcore. I'm sure there's a lot. And the drugs were
all hardcore.
The drugs were available back then. I know everybody, because they weren't illegal back then, so it was easy to take them. It was absolutely easy to get them. Were people like pressure or presenting them to you back then?
Oh, it was always around, you know. And see, I grew up in one of the most hardcore gyms on the East Coast. Yeah. I grew up in Diamond Gym with John Kemper. And that's where all the champions were coming from.
Yeah.
You know, so guys would come from all over to come to Diamond Gym. And then I would go to different gyms. And, you know, you see guys doing whatever they did, you know. And I never knocked anybody for doing whatever they did, you know. But I'm like, that's not for me. Mm-hmm. And because, trust me, I was approached numerous times by various people, you know, who had turned pro. And they would look at me like, my God, Dwayne, you know, with your physique, if you were to take this, man, you could be like one of the best of the best.
Yeah.
You know, but I said, no, you know, and I always had that belief. I knew I could have been, but it's amazing how it worked out, because I became the best of the best natural bodybuilder.
Yeah.
You know, one of the best, one of the best of the best. So I still achieved all the goals that I was looking to obtain. You know, and I just did it naturally. Yeah.
Well, it had to help too that you were doing really good in competitions as a teenager without taking them. Now, maybe if you were like doing really bad, maybe you would have had more temptation to take them, right?
Yeah, and I won too many shows against guys who were taking them. You know, winning overalls.
Right.
So that gave me the confidence that I didn't need to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So when did you find out about the natural shows? You said Bob Bonham had a natural concept. Was that AAU?
That was NPC.
Oh, that was NPC.
Bob Bottom. Yeah. He was involved with the NPC. He gave the Natural Eastern Classic, and you know, all the best natural bodybuilders came from all over to compete in that show.
Okay.
And I won that show, and I think I ran into Maz Ali one day. He was talking to me, and he mentioned to me about, you know, a natural organization,
you know,
as far as a pro organization. And I took that information and competed in the qualifier. I won the qualifier and got my pro card.
Okay.
And then that's when I joined the WNBF. And now the WNBF is the top natural bodybuilding organization in the world.
Yeah.
You know, Nancy Andrews, you know, the president of the organization, she's a 5-time world champion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So she runs a great organization, and the competition is unbelievable at that pro level, particularly at the worlds, the universe. You know, you would not believe the quality of natural bodybuilders. Yeah.
When did they start? When did they start, Dwayne? When did the WNBF start?
The WNBF, I believe now, is 25 or 30 years old.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because, right. Yeah, about 25, 30 years old now.
All right.
And it's been around for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So but
the caliber competition is great.
So you were doing the Natural America. That was in early 80s, right? 81. What organization was
correct
that? Was that
I can't
AAU
remember
or NPC or
No, that was Tom Ciola up in upstate New York.
Oh, NBA.
I can't remember.
NBA?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, yeah. So that's where I competed. And, you know, because you had that organization, because I remember Gallucci had won it the 1 year. Yeah. And then Ashley came and beat me the next year for the overall title. And then I came and won and got my pro card.
What did you think of Mike Ashley when you saw him?
Whew. I said, oh, my goodness. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. The guy, he was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Okay. He was the thickest natural guy I'd ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Okay. And he is a good guy, though.
Yeah,
he was a really good dude. He came over to me, you know, after the prejudging, you know, came in, introduced himself, you know, and he said, Dwayne, you look really good upstage. I'm like, Mike, you look really good up there, man. You know, and he beat me out for the overall, you know. But that's the type of competition I was competing against, okay?
Yeah, right.
So there were never any easy walks in the park. As a champion, that's what you want. You know, you want to compete against the best.
Yeah.
Okay. That brings out the best of you.
Right. What do you think when all these people say he was never natural? Like all these people after he turned pro and stuff, a lot of people say there's no way Mike Ashley was natural.
Yeah, I heard a lot of that, you know, but I'm the type of person, you know, if I have no proof, you know, I'm not going to speak against anybody.
Yeah.
Right, because if he wasn't natural to compete against naturals, you know, I don't know. I could never do that.
Yeah.
Okay, what's the glory in me not being natural, claiming to be natural?
Right. Yeah, I agree.
You know,
was his physique a lot different when you competed against him than he became when he was an IFBB pro?
Not much.
Not much, right? Yeah.
Not much.
Yeah, because I would look at his – when he was an IFBB pro, he didn't weigh – I think he was like 190, right? I mean, he wasn't even 200 pounds. So it's just he had that he just had that hard look. I think that's probably genetic more than anything, right?
And that, exactly. And he was a shorter guy.
Yeah.
You know? So he was carrying a lot of muscle.
Right.
And you have genetic freaks.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, so if he wasn't natural, you know, bless him.
Yeah.
Okay. You know. But if he was natural, my God.
Yeah. What
incredible muscle he was carrying.
Yeah, I agree. Because, you know, when I see earlier pictures of him when he was doing shows like the one that you guys were in, he wasn't much different. I mean,
he was only
like maybe 180-something pounds.
Right.
But he was thick. He just had that thick look to his muscles, and his muscles had that hard look, which I think a lot of that is, of course, diet, but I think a lot of it is genetics. Plus, he trained heavy. He was like a power lifter too, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. You know, so just like
basically the illusion in the genetics, I think, you know.
Exactly. Just like Kai Green, you know, when he was in our organization, you know, the guy was a freak back then.
Yeah.
You know, and he lived it. He breathed it. That was his whole life. You know, so to see, you know, where he wound up is no surprise.
Yeah.
You know, because that was what he lived for.
Now, how old was Kai when you were competing against him? He had to be pretty young, right?
Yeah, Kai was in his 20s, you know, 20s, maybe 26, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, but Kai was a phenomenal, he won the worlds, he won the universe.
Yeah.
You know, his posing was second to none, okay? And that's a lost art that, you know, when I look at a lot of these bodybuilding shows today, it's like boring, you know? And that's the one thing that I miss about bodybuilding competition is the stage.
Mm-hmm.
I love the stage.
Yeah.
You know, I love performing. I love, you know, getting the crowd going. And when you walk off the stage and your contestants are saying, man, I'm glad I don't have to follow that. You know, that's a great feeling.
Right.
I live for that performance.
Yeah.
You know, when I won the Mr. Universe, Ernie Hudson, you know, from Ghostbusters.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the actor, He came backstage. He said, I have to tell you, what a performance. Wow. He said, you are an entertainer.
That's great.
And that made me feel really good.
Yeah. What was he doing at the show?
He came to watch it.
Really?
Right there in New York City. So he was there, and I considered that an honor.
Yeah, right.
Come backstage and, to stick me out and say congratulations. I really enjoy. He said, you're an entertainer. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, because when you get up on that stage, you want to separate yourself and give them something to remember.
Mm-hmm.
I look at these shows now, people are just on stage, hit a couple of shots,
yeah.
And it's sick, man.
Yeah.
The presentation is everything. And that's what I love about the WNBF, because at the pro level, your routine can separate you by a tiebreaker or move you up a point if it's really close.
Right.
So I always said, just get me there close, because you get me there close and it's based on my routine. Okay. I feel pretty good about this.
Right,
okay.
Right.
Yeah. So
where did you learn how to pose, Dwayne? Did you teach yourself?
I taught myself.
Okay.
See, I love to dance. The music just gets in me and it just moves my body.
Mm-hmm.
I could be in the gym training, the music comes on, and I just start moving. Like people see me, I come in the gym sometime, they're like, are you going to dance today? Okay. Because my energy, the people tell me, Dwayne, we feed off your energy when I come into the gym, because I'll just flow. The music hits me, I'll just start moving,
Yeah.
And I would listen to the music and relate it and try to relay that to the audience. So the audience feels you when you're on stage. So that's why I said, always listen to music that moved me, that I felt, and the audience could feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
do you pick something that's inspirational or just something that means something to you, or are you trying to give a message with your posing?
Yeah, I would pick something inspirational. I would pick something that told a story.
Okay.
This way, like when I came back, I remember posing to Aaliyah, and it was, if you fall down, get yourself up and go again. Dust yourself off and go again.
Yeah. I know.
So I used that when I came back, and that's when I started winning. And that's what it's all about. Another time I was in a competition. It was the Masters, Pro Masters up in Massachusetts, Nessie's show. I had won it the year before. The next year, I didn't come in. I didn't come in the shape that I should have come in. I came in third. When I came back that next year, when I always would put my music together, and as I'm walking out on stage, I said, last year, I left something here. I want it back, my title. The crowd went crazy.
I came back
and won. Yeah, I said, last year I left something here, my title, and I want it back. And then I got into my pose, and the crowd went crazy. Yeah. I won that show. But I would put my music together, So when I walked out on stage, because sometimes I would be talking as I'm walking out on stage, and then people are like, what's Dwayne going to do? All right, because I knew I was bringing something, because that's what I loved, that stage, man.
Yeah.
So I would always take the time to put my music together, to tell a story.
Yeah.
And then when you walk off the stage, you want them to remember that routine.
Right.
Yeah. But I was doing that, as a youngster, in the NPC, because I can remember John Kemper and those guys, I can hear them talking. Now that's an entertainer right there, and people would tell you on the street, man, I remember seeing you at the Jersey, man, that routine was awesome, That's what I miss the most about competition.
Yeah.
The stage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing when I help people with their posing, a lot of people will just pick this random music that doesn't really have any meaning. Maybe they like the song, but sometimes it's like really hard rock or, you know, metal, hard metal. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't, like, there's no way the audience can relate to that. There's no way it's going to inspire anybody or motivate.
Correct. And that's what you want to do. And then I also would pose the inspirational music.
Right.
You know, that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
You know, let the people know you. You know, you talk to them. You know, let your personality shine.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So tell me about that. The universe, the natural universe that you won. When was that? Tell me about that.
That was in 2002.
Okay.
You know, I won the in 2000. I won my class in 2000, and I remember I was home and I was ironing my clothes, and my son said, "Dad, you didn't go back to compete last year." You know, and I'm like, yeah, I didn't go back. You know, he said, well, that was me. I wouldn't want to go back to defend my title. My son, he knows how I am. Don't give me a challenge. You know, I said to myself, no, he did not just say that to me. You know, John, I locked it in from that point on, boy. And then came universe time. There's three of us, the guy who won it the year before and another guy, and all three of us were in really good shape.
Yeah.
And like I told the guys before they announced, because we knew the three, it was going to be between three of us, you know, and I'm like, whoever wins this show, guys, you know, all of us were in great shape. Everybody here is a great champion, you know. And they call third, the guy who won it the year before, he was third.
Mm.
And another guy, you know, between him and I, they said second place, and I didn't hear my name. He called, and then I was the last man standing.
Yeah.
You know, so I walked out on stage. Oh, what a great feeling that was. What a great feeling.
How old were you when you won that, Dwayne?
I was 42 years old.
Wow, no kidding.
42 years old, absolutely.
How old are you now?
I'm 63.
63. Wow, you look great, man.
And John, that's what the lifestyle
right.
Supported,
right.
You know,
right.
People see me in the gym after I get finished working, I'll strip down. They're like, man, you don't compete anymore? I'm like, no. The only difference between me now and then, I don't get on stage.
Mm-hmm.
It's the lifestyle didn't change.
Right.
My whole life is about discipline. I eat the same way. I train the same way. My commitment is the same. You know, I love to train. You know, when I wake up in the morning and I know it's training day, I'm like a kid in a candy store, man. Oh, right. I am so jacked. I can't wait to train.
Yeah.
You know, people would come by Diamond Gym back in the 80s when I was training, getting ready for shows. They say, Dwayne, we come by the gym 2:00, 2:30 in the morning after coming from the club and see your car parked outside the gym. People don't understand that's what it takes to be a champion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Doing the things that somebody else is not doing while others are out there partying. You're committed in that gym. You know, people don't see the sacrifices that champions make.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy to be a champion for a minute. You know, a true champion shows some consistency,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I've been blessed to have been a teenage champion. I've competed for 4 decades at the highest level.
Yeah.
You know, consistency and dedication and discipline, you know. My disciplines are, forget it, man. You know, I don't miss workouts, John.
Yeah.
You know, I do not miss workouts unless I'm sick.
Right.
And then it kills me, but I got enough sense to know, okay, let your body recuperate.
Right.
But it's all the things that people don't see that goes into creating a champion.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about your training and diet. How do you train and diet now at 63?
At 63, I don't train as heavy as I used to back in the day. I train smarter. I train higher reps, and the pumps that I get are phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And I train 3 days a week. I train each body part once a week.
Okay.
I do chest and biceps and front delts together.
Okay.
I do back biceps. I mean, back triceps, rear delts, and side delts. And I'll do legs by themselves.
Okay.
You know, and I'll train a day, rest a day, train a day, rest a day. Then I get 2 days in between.
Yeah.
So I train 3 days a week. This way, I get full recuperation.
Yeah.
I'm anxious to go to the gym and train. You know, I'm not tired of going to the gym. And my nutrition is the key. You know.
What's your nutrition like?
And first thing in the morning, every single morning when I get up, I eat oatmeal and a banana.
Okay.
365 days a year. Okay. Then I'll have eggs later on. I'll have like, and after my workout, I'll have a protein drink. Mm-hmm. And then later on, I'll have like 4 egg whites and 1 yolk, you know, with yam or yuca and turkey bacon or turkey sausage.
Okay.
Then I'll have lunch. I'll have chicken, brown rice. I love cabbage. I love green beans, you know, so I get my vegetables in. You know, other days I'll have like ground turkey. You know, when I make spaghetti, I eat veggie pasta. So I don't eat ground beef. I eat turkey. You know, I eat a lot of chicken. I eat a lot of fish.
Okay.
I might eat red meat, beef, maybe 4 times, 5 times max in a year. You know, okay. Yeah, because it's so hard to digest.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't put that into my body. And then later on in the evening, you know, I'll snack on, you know, like fruits, almonds, cashews, you know, and I drink a lot of water.
Okay.
You know? And that's my consistency. That's a real clean diet all the time. That's how I eat.
Are you lean all the time?
Yeah. I never allow myself to get maybe 8 pounds away from being able to step on stage.
Yeah.
Because I want to see the muscle that I'm building.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
You know, so to me, it makes more sense. You know, I said, watch guys put on all this extra weight, you know, and then they get ready for competition and they gain 2 or 3 pounds of muscle. I'm like, what sense did that make?
Right.
You know? So I never allowed myself, when I was competing, never allowed myself to get more than maybe 12 pounds out of competition shape.
Okay.
You know?
What's your normal weight now in the off season?
On the off season, I'm about 186.
Okay.
Yeah, 186, 187. I keep it in that range.
Yeah, okay. So when was your last contest then, Dwayne?
In 2000, and I believe it was 2004. Yeah.
2004, okay. How did that go?
I placed, I believe it was fourth in the world.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. And that was it for me. Yeah.
Was that a Masters or was that the Open?
That was Open.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, in 2002, I won the Masters Pro Cup and the Mr. Universe.
Damn. Really? Okay.
Yeah. I won the Masters Pro Cup. 6 weeks later, I won the Mr. Universe Open.
Yeah. Yeah. Why did you decide to stop competing?
I just felt it was time for me. You know, I'd been competing, you know, for decades, and I started judging, and I really got into the judging aspect.
Okay.
You know, and now I'm moving into the promotion.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I was supposed to have a show in New York 3 weeks ago. Battle for Broadway in New York City.
Uh-huh.
But with the COVID, we had to put that on hold. And, you know, hopefully next year after COVID is done, you know, we'll do the IMBF Battle for Broadway, IMBF.
Okay.
You know? So I'm really looking forward to that. I love the judging. I love giving back. I love sharing, you know, with up-and-coming bodybuilders, you know, and share my expertise and experience with them. You know, anything that I can do to help somebody else out is a blessing.
Yeah.
You know, I believe in, you know, giving away. You know, you have to share your gifts with people.
Yeah. Are you doing coaching too? Are you doing personal training, coaching?
I'm doing coaching. I was doing personal training, you know, but right now I slowed that down because I'm so busy with so many other outside endeavors right now. Mm-hmm. You know, but yeah, I've done a lot of personal training.
Okay.
And I do selective clientele at this point.
Okay.
But because people who want it, you know, I'll invest in them.
Yeah.
You know, but I want somebody who's hungry, you know, because I'm going to give it to you.
Yeah.
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 And I want that type of person.
Yeah. You got to have a motivated client, right?
Exactly. You know, because if you're hungry, I'll feed you.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Well, I hope that show goes off next year. I think you'll enjoy the promotion part of it because I always thought the best promoters were people that were competitors, you know, because then you know what makes a good show. You know what the competitors want. And you also know how to, you know, please the audience, how to make the show entertaining for the audience. So I think you'll be a great promoter with all those years of experience.
Thank you, John. You know, but like you just said, you know, entertaining the audience.
Yeah.
Isn't that what it's all about anyway?
That's what it's all about, yeah. Yeah. And so many contest promoters, I think, forget that. And they just have these – well, I think it doesn't help with all these different divisions because they got so many divisions, so many classes. And they're just like putting the people up, getting them off, beating them up, you know, and then they give them a trophy. And then it's the audience is like, what's going on? You know, it's not entertaining for them. So if you right. can find a way to make that show entertaining for the audience, that's really going to make a difference.
Absolutely. And see, that's what I love about being a head judge a lot of times also, because I love the feedback that I get from the audience. When any, even the contestants, when they're like, wow, we really enjoyed you, you know, on the microphone. Because I know what it's like for the audience, and yeah. I know what it's like from the competitor.
Right.
You know, so let's make it fun. Let's make it entertaining.
For everyone, yeah. Right.
Exactly. You yeah. know, so it's all good.
Yeah.
You know, this is my life, man. This is right. what I love.
You got the passion for it, right? So how many shows overall did you do, Dwayne, do you know?
Ooh, I can't even count them, John. Yeah. I have over 100 trophies, man. I got trophies everywhere, man. Yeah.
Yeah, awesome.
I've been blessed. And bodybuilding's been great to me, John.
Yeah.
You know, I'm so thankful because at 63 years old, to know I can get on stage now with the best of them, mm-hmm. if that's what I so choose, right. is a blessing
yeah.
because of the discipline. And John, it's all about that discipline, man. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to deviate. I see the benefits of doing the right thing, putting the right things in your body, going into the gym, you know, and getting your workout on, you know. At 63 years old, man, I feel like I'm still 30.
Yeah, you look like it.
Okay.
Right.
So I'm not going to mess with that. If it's right. not broke, don't fix it, man.
Right. Great representative for the sport, Dwayne, that's for sure.
Thank you, John. I appreciate that, my friend.
All right, buddy. Well, it was great talking to you. Great talking about your career, Dwayne. And like I said, you competed with some of the best guys, and you are a great champion yourself. So I wish you the best with your natural promotions next year. I'm sure that'll be a great show.
John, I'm looking forward to it. You know, I've been blessed. I'm in a great place in my life. You know, I'm in a great organization, you know, with the WMBF. And I'm just looking forward to continue to promote that natural lifestyle
yeah.
and show people, you know, you can achieve the highest level naturally.
Yeah.
So God's been great, and I thank you, my friend.
All right. You're welcome, Dwayne. Thanks for joining us on the Bodybuilding Legends podcast.
Okay. Thank you, John. It was my pleasure.
All right, buddy. Okay. Take care.
All right. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. I want to thank Mr. Dwayne Broadway for coming on the show and doing the interview. And I also want to thank our sponsor, Florida Alternative Medicine. I also want to thank all you Patreon donors who are continuing to support the show every month. I really appreciate you guys. If you're interested in supporting the Bodybuilding Legends podcast show, you can just go to our official website, which is bodybuildinglegendsshow.com. And in the upper right-hand corner, we've got a link for the Patreon page. And I appreciate anyone who considers doing that. It really helps the show keep going. Next week, we will be joined by Tom Terwilliger, who I mentioned earlier, and he will be joined by another great teenage champion, 1979 Teenage USA, Joey Folco. We had Joey on the show a couple years ago, so it'll be great to have him back. So him and Tom are going to reminisce about bodybuilding in the 1970s, and that'll be next week on the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. Have a great week, everybody. Keep safe and enjoy your workouts, and we'll see you next week. Take care.